Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME, THEGAME. We're live out here at Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena ahead of the Predators' introductory press conference for new head coach Andrew Brunette. Willie D, D-Mace, how we doing?
Hey, we're doing pretty good, I suppose.
Apologies for some technical difficulties.
We had a false start.
Difficulties. We had a little pre-snap penalty. We can't have that, you know. Can't have that in this game. Those are inexcusable. But other than that, the weather's great outside.
Weather's beautiful.
The Titans are in, whatever they are in, OTA, minicamp, whatever it is. But the story of the day is the Nashville Predators have hired their fourth coach in franchise history. So that's big news.
And we will hear from him today at 1 o'clock at Bridgestone Arena. We will carry that introductory press conference live and in its entirety on 102.5 The Game. Again, that's Andrew Brunette's introductory press conference. D-Mace, you were right. The Titans are out at OTAs again today. Mm-hmm. Story of the day, will Kevin Byard be there? Will Christian Fulton be there? We will check in with Jonathan Hutton in 1 hour. Greg Wyshynski, who covers the NHL for ESPN, he will join us in 30 minutes. We'll get his reaction to the Predators moving on from John Hines and hiring Andrew Brunette, what he knows about Andrew Brunette. Willie Donick, how we doing?
I am doing well. It's good to be here. Very peaceful at Bridgestone Arena today. Very
quiet.
Peaceful. I think the staff has the day off today, or had a scheduled day off, and now, of course, this happened. So I think a lot of people will be sort of milling in here, start to hanging back out around 1 o'clock. But it'll be fun to see Andrew Brunette. I've seen him pop up any number of places since he left here. I can certainly remember that first team. That's a great memory of mine, covering the very first Predators team in 98-99 and having absolutely no idea what I was doing. I mean, I really realized when they started playing how little I knew about what was going on in the game. So I've learned a lot since then. But, man, he's been in a lot of places since then. He's played for a lot of different teams, had a lot of success. And then has had, you know, what I didn't realize, I guess, is the different experiences he's had even before he became a coach. He was an assistant general manager, for example. He was in hockey ops for a couple years. He was, assistant coach
with the Wild.
For a while. So there's a lot of people who have known Andrew Brunette for a long time, but nobody more than Barry Trotz. We mentioned when he was drafted by the Capitals, Barry Trotz was a very young minor league coach in the AHL. So they go way, way back. I was listening to Elliot Friedman's 32 Thoughts podcast this morning, and they talked about it a lot, the whole process here. And one thing Elliot said to us yesterday, and he repeated on his podcast, is we're all also very anxiously waiting to see what Barry Trotz says about the process itself. You know, because when Derek asked Elliot about, you know, his question, I think it's on a lot of people's minds, really from a coaching perspective, is Barry Trotz being a former coach, you know, it was a little different how he did this, right, where John Hines was still employed while they were looking around at other options. And, you know, that was certainly reiterated on the podcast, which gets circulated to all of the hockey circles. Like,
totally.
Everybody's listening to that podcast. So I think Barry Trotz will be prepared today to sort of give his, you know, his end of it, his thought process on how he arrived at making this coaching change.
And Elliot was on with us yesterday, and you can find that on your preferred podcast platform on socials. Elliot said that there are some people around the league that were a bit critical of the process.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And look, it's a cutthroat business. Yes. It's not always easy. Sometimes you have to make those difficult decisions. So I don't want to act like it was egregious. I don't think that, you know, John Hines was completely done dirty. Mm-hmm. But it was.
It was done dirty. I'm going to say it.
It was not how I would handle it. I will put it that way. And Barry Trotz spoke to Paul Skrbina of the Tennessean, and this is in his most recent article in the Tennessean. And Barry Trotz said, "How I said it to John was, if the right people come available, I'm at least going to go down that path and at least talk or find out a little bit. He was very well aware, and he will tell you the same. I had to evaluate the whole year. I also had to look at the broader picture, not only for next year, but the next 4 years." That was one question that we had yesterday was, how filled in was John Hines about the situation? Was Barry Trotz kind of basically just going behind John Hines' back and talking to all of these people and then just got completely blindsided on Tuesday whenever he made the hire, whenever he made the decision to move on from John Hines? Barry Trotz says he at least was filled in on the situation, but still, interviewing other people when you have an incumbent isn't the best look.
It's tough. And I will say this. Barry Trotz, I completely trust that Barry Trotz is telling the truth. Barry Trotz, if you know one thing about him, mm-hmm. and I've known him since he was hired and I got to know him pretty well, I do believe he's got a lot of integrity to him, even if this was unorthodox. And I do meet you. I do have the same questions, Derek, mm-hmm. that you have and I think a lot of people have. I think we'll hear more detail from Barry today. But if he says that that's true, then I believe that that's true. But it's kind of strange if you're John Hines. You know, I try to put myself in his shoes, too, because I have a ton of respect for him as well as a person, as a professional. And that had to be tough, kind of sitting there going, am I in? You know, like almost rooting for the wrong for the right guys not to become available. You know, so maybe I keep – and if you don't want me, let me go find something else. I'm kind of rooting for him to land on his feet somewhere, too. I hope he gets another shot.
Yeah. And listen, I'm not questioning Trotz's integrity.
Yeah.
By no means am I doing that. Mm-hmm. But here's the deal. And this is the way I look at it. And, hell, anybody else can look at it any other way they want, any way they want to. I'm reading this. And thank you, by the way, Caroline.
Yes, of course.
This to me.
Yes, of course.
Because I will admit, I sent the text. I said, listen. Thank you for sending it, but I'm too cheap to pay for Tennessee. So, Caroline, can you please send me? And she nicely and graciously sent it to me. So, thank you.
Scrolling, exactly. Sending to D-Mace, scrolling, send it to D-Mace.
So, I thank you for that.
Of course.
But I'm reading the article. And this is why I say, one, I'm not questioning his integrity because I believe what he said in his article happened. Mm-hmm. Told him. But this is where, you know, this is where it sort of gets to me as a person. Mm-hmm. You knew this man had no leverage whatsoever. None. If this was a guy that had won Stanley Cups in previous years, not necessarily with the Predators, but if this guy had some skins on the wall, you wouldn't have did this to him. You cannot tell me you would have did this to him. You wouldn't have said, hey, listen. For now, you're our coach, but we're going to continue to look. And, you know, if something comes available that we really like, then we may look that way.
Right.
If this was Lobby, you wouldn't have did that to Lobby. Okay? If this was, name another coach out there that has won a championship or has skins on the wall.
Barry Trotz. You
wouldn't have done this to him. You wouldn't have, because you knew you couldn't. You couldn't sit there. That's like a team, you know, telling Vrabel, like the Titans telling Vrabel, hey, listen, we got we got another coach we're looking at, but just in case, you know, Vrabel going to look at them like, no, cut me now. I'm walking out right now because mm-hmm. I know I can get another job. Why? Because he has skins on the wall. John has no skins on the wall. So they knew they can play that card with them. That's what I don't like. That, to me, is the dirty side of it. You knew that man had no leverage whatsoever. Whether you like John Hines or not, that's beyond the point. I'm talking about just doing so, knowing you have the upper hand on somebody and taking advantage of that. That's like me knowing that I'm the parent over my kids, taking advantage of them and not listening to them just because I'm the parent. I have that over them. Don't do that to people. That's all I'm saying. Again, I'm not questioning Trotz's integrity. I believe what this article said, that he told John Hines that. But again, had this been Lobby, or had it been Trotz, or any other coach that has won championships or got skins on the wall, you couldn't do this, because they would have said, "Just let me go right now. I'm not sitting around waiting for you to make a decision. You holding up my life. You holding up my coach's life. Mm-hmm. Either cut me now or keep me. Which one are you gonna do?"
And I think some coaches have probably done that in the past, or you know, when presented a uncomfortable situation
exactly.
like that. And I don't know if John Hines had that option. He maybe he could have done that and decided to just play it out, see how it went.
Exactly.
It's an interesting quote by Trotsky here. He said, I'm sure it happened here when I was here as the coach. It's just interesting perspective.
He
that
said,
he
I'm
say
sure
that.
It
yeah.
happened.
Yeah.
It did. He ain't saying it happened.
But
he
also,
said, I'm sure that the, that maybe Poyle thought in his mind, yeah. but Poyle, but is he saying that Poyle verbalized that
it's
to
a,
him?
It's an interesting philosophical question.
Exactly.
Is you know, if they always say, right, an athletic director in an SEC school or a Power Five school, they always say, hey, you got to be ready. You got to have your little list of three coaches ready if your coach leaves
right.
or if you fire your coach. Like, you always have a working list that you're working on. That's interesting, and that's probably good advice, right?
Well,
and there were
not,
definitely
yeah.
times where Barry Trotz was here for a long time.
Exactly.
It's good. Longer than most NHL coaches last, especially in expansion years. So there were definitely some times. I'm sure Barry could talk about specifics, but there were times where you wondered, is he going to be back, you know, or is he going to make it through the season? I always tell the story when he was in Washington and they won the cup in 2018. Mm-hmm. There were two or three different times where there were a lot of rumors circulating. Are they going to make a change before the end of the season, let alone after the season? And of course, he left because his contract was up and he was a basic free agent and he chose to go to the Islanders because he had enough of it. So he's been through it, which is also interesting to note, knowing that perspective, handled this. Yeah.
But Peter Laviolette was fired, and what was it, the next day John Hines was introduced as the next coach?
Yeah, they had a game. They had one day between games. They came back from a West Coast trip just days after the Winter Classic in Dallas, and the plane touched down from Anaheim. He was fired, and they had a game the next night. It was a full travel day, so there wasn't a lot of turnaround time. And so, like, the logistics of just getting him there, like, you had to figure there was some groundwork going on.
Like, there was some behind-the-scenes discussions happening. You can't tell me that within this span of 8 hours of firing Peter Laviolette and introducing John Hines that you figured out all of those interview you know, specifics, and you agreed to terms. There was definitely discussions going on behind the scenes.
But this is not comparing apples to apples. I'm sure they didn't go up to, or maybe they did. I don't know. But did it come out publicly that they went to Lobby and said, hey, Lobby, listen, if this thing doesn't get right, we got some guys that we're thinking about hiring, so you may be let go. That didn't come out. If it did, I stand corrected. Mm-hmm. So this is not, and I heard Jared say something to the effect, it's not apples to apples. You can make it apples to apples to go along with your case that you're making, but this is not apples to apples. No way, no how. This is a situation, again, I believe what was written in the Tennessean, what Trotsky said. Uh-huh. I'm not trying to sit here and debate that. I'm not trying to debate that. I believe that Trotsky, what he said in the Tennessean is what he told John Hines. But you can't do that with guys that have skins on the wall. So if you're not going to do it to them, don't do it to him. Just let them go. Let them go. You're fine to coach. You have, from what this management has shown, I'm talking about the ownership group, they have patience. So if you chose to fire Hines and, okay, we got some guys. I'm sure Trotsky had some guys in mind when he took this job as he evaluating, because he's not evaluating without having guys in a queue.
I think you always have to have people in mind.
He has some guys in a queue while he's evaluating. So if that is indeed the case, then let this man go. Let him walk. You got to pay him anyway. Let him walk. You know, again, whether you like John Hines or don't like him as a head coach, I'm not debating that. Side of the ledge you fall on, that's your deal.
Right.
I'm not going to say I like them or dislike them. But I'm all about, listen, if this is what you said to him, that if something, you know, hey, listen, if something better comes along, you know, I'm going to let you go if something better come along. If that man had skins on the wall, you wouldn't have dare walked up to him like that and said that. You wouldn't have. At least that's what I believe. I'm not going to say maybe Trotsky would have did it. I can't say that definitively. But at least I believe you wouldn't have did that to that man.
And at the end of the day, it's a cutthroat business.
Exactly. It's a cutthroat business.
And you got to make cutthroat decisions.
I get it. But to me, that's not a cutthroat decision. It's not. Either you're going to keep him or you're not. Like I said yesterday, if you're 60% sold on him and 40% not, find somebody that you're 80% sold on. Let him go.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into your thoughts on that. Plus, coming up next, we've said ever since it was announced that Barry Trotz was going to take over as the general manager of the Nashville Predators, that, hey, we know Barry as a coach. We don't know Barry as a GM. We're going to find out what Barry is going to be like as a general manager. Well, he just made the biggest decision yet as the Nashville Predators general manager. So have we gotten a little bit of a peek behind the curtain of what Barry Trotz GM looks like? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, Greg Wyshynski in 15 minutes. 1025, 1063, the game.
Do you think John Hines got a fair shake?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would be very interested in hearing when Barry Trotz next speaks to reporters, which I assume will be when they formally introduce Andrew Brunette. I would love for Barry to be as transparent as possible about this evaluation process, just because it does feel like John Hines was in limbo for a long time. And I actually can say that I know that because I was texting with John Hines, who told me that he was in limbo for a long time. And it just feels that, you know, perhaps this could have been done a few weeks ago. Why did it take 6 weeks? I would be very interested in hearing from Barry exactly why it took this long, because one answer is, well, these guys weren't available. Brunette wasn't available. Carberry wasn't available. Their teams have been eliminated from the postseason for 3 weeks. They haven't played since early May, like May 11th, May 12th is when the Maple Leafs and Devils were eliminated. Why could this not have happened 2 or 3 weeks ago? I would love to hear the answer to that.
That was Adam Vingan on Stillman and Company yesterday. He said that John Hines said he was in limbo, which I don't think really surprises any of us, given the length with which this process lasted. I mean, we got to the point where it was like, okay, you have to make a decision about the coach. Surely you cannot still be evaluating. If you do want to move on from John Hines, then fine. Cut ties with John Hines. Let him make his decisions. Make your decisions about the rest of the coaching staff and let them move forward and find their next landing spot. Now, we'll hear from Barry Trotz today. The Predators host a press conference at 1 o'clock at Bridgestone Arena. We're out here at Bridgestone Arena in Barrel House. So we'll hear from Barry Trotz, and I'm sure there will be a whole lot of questions about the process. Why now? Why did it take so long?
Yeah, and I hope that they can get that part of it sort of answered, addressed.
And then move
so
on.
So that it doesn't take away from – this is Andrew move Burnett's on. First – full-time job. Remember, he was an interim coach for the Panthers and a Jack Adams runner-up.
Yes.
But he's never really been introduced at a press conference for a head coaching job. This has been a long time coming. So I hope he does get a section of the press conference to where he can enjoy it and it doesn't get completely overshadowed by this part of it, because it does need to be addressed. Now, the one thing that Adam said that I think Barry addressed in the Tennessean article was that at least, and because we had this question right when it happened yesterday, we were all just hit with this like a bucket of cold water, right? We knew something was brewing, but all of a sudden, boom, it happens.
News drops at 10:58.
News drops, yeah. So I think we all wondered, where was John Hines in the communication line? So according to Barry, John Hines at least knew he would be in limbo from the end of the season until possibly the end of May. That's according to Barry. He said, you know, Trotz said Hines knew the Predators were looking around. So at least he knew he was in limbo, I guess, for lack of a better term. Yesterday, I didn't know exactly what. At least we have a little bit of clarity there.
Yeah.
That's better than just every day you show up to work. Hi, how you doing?
We good?
Does my key still work?
Do I have a job?
Yeah.
No. But you're still that way.
It's definitely limbo.
Yeah.
He knew he was in limbo, but he's still in limbo.
Exactly. Yeah. Y'all two had experience of something to this sort of magnitude or not, I don't know. But as a guy, a former player, this stuff right here, it weighs on you mentally and emotionally. I can remember going into my third or fourth year in the NFL, all these trade rumors and all this other stuff. Mason's going to get traded here or this and that and that and this. There's always this speculation. Mm-hmm. You didn't think that affected me every time I walked into the building?
It's fair.
It affected me every, because I didn't know whether I was going to get that call in the morning saying, hey, you've been traded. Now you got to pick up your family and leave. Or once I got to the building doing workouts, as I have seen before, and then they tell you, well, you've been traded. That's why I look at this from a different prism than maybe you two do, or Jared does, mm-hmm. or anybody on our station. Because when you're in a situation like that, whether you were told or not, I'm glad he was told.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
it's better than
it's
not.
It's better than not. But still, it doesn't take away the angst or the anxiety or just like the uneasiness of walking into a building every day, getting up every day, not knowing if you have a job or if you do, are you getting shipped somewhere else? I gotta make all of these contingency plans. I can't move forward with my life. And I know a lot of people, well, he's getting paid. Damn the money. He's a coach. He has a family. Other coaches have families. Mm-hmm. They can't do anything until the decision is made either way. That's why I look at this situation, and it's not cool to me. Again, it was done. This has nothing to do with me personally with John. Mm-hmm. It could have been any coach. It could have been Lavi that was in the same situation at the end of the season. It could have been Trot. It could have been anybody. It's the way that you do it for me. Yeah, I know you got to fire him. Hell, we talked about it at the end of the season.
It's a business.
Will he be here? Will he not be here? So we knew that there's a potential of him getting fired. That's not the thing.
Right.
So my thing is how you proceed with it, how you do it. And there are some damn cutthroat people out there that don't give a damn. But what you do to others will be done to you eventually. When you do stuff like that stuff right there, yeah. And again, I believe Trotsky when he said, well, in our article, when he said, listen, I told him and I let him know. And I believe I'm not questioning Trotsky's integrity by no means. Again, listen to me, people, because sometimes people have selective hearing here. I am not questioning Trotsky's integrity whatsoever. That's not what I'm questioning. I'm just saying, if you told that man what was exactly in his article, you didn't read it and say, oh, I didn't say that. Can you retract that? No, it's there. So if you said this to that man, it's completely wrong. Just don't hold me on a string. Just let me go. Let me find another job. You got to pay me either or. So why are you holding on to me when you really don't want me? Because if we because if we get in the season and things are starting off slow,
you're gonna move on then.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So do it.
Greg Wyshynski, ESPN NHL analyst, will join us coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline Willie DeMays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game and The Game Nashville. At Patreon, 102.5 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament presented by Gary Force Acura, benefiting Souls for Souls on Wednesday, June 7th. That is next Wednesday at Hermitage Golf Course. You can put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebs to support a great cause and have loads of fun. So if you want to support Souls for Souls, but if you can't play golf with us, then you can check out our silent auction items. Just go to thegamenashville.com/golf for more information. Caroline Willie DeMays, we're out here at Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena ahead of the Predators' introductory press conference for their new head coach, Andrew Brunette. And joining us now is Greg Wyshynski, who covers the NHL for ESPN. Greg, appreciate you for joining us. The big news that sent Nashville by storm yesterday, the Predators are moving on from head coach John Hines and have hired a new coach, Andrew Brunette. What do you know about Andrew Brunette, and what kind of hire is this for the Predators?
Well, it's an interesting one. You know, I think the expectation was that Brunette was going to get another head coaching job this offseason. You know, whether it was going to be a change in Nashville, whether it potentially was going to be the Calgary Flames, where he would have been reunited with Jonathan Huberdeau, who he coached in Florida. Brunette's an interesting case. So he was a guy that I interviewed when he took over from Joel Quenneville in Florida. Obviously, Quenneville was forced to resign due to the scandal with the Blackhawks, and Brunette took over from an associate coach to interim head coach. And he was a guy that he didn't necessarily have a track to be a head coach. I mean, when he was with Minnesota, he was an assistant coach. He was an executive. He's a guy that didn't really have what would seem like the burning passion to be a head coach. But that being said, he had a tremendous season in Florida, winning the President's Trophy, making the second round of the playoffs, and maybe the bug bit him to continue on. The thing for me about him as a head coach is, what did you learn? What did you learn in your first time through? What did you learn as an assistant coach in Jersey under Lindy Ruff? Because while Burnett did a really good job shepherding that team after a controversy with Quenneville and a shocking resignation, he got out-coached in the playoffs pretty bad. And tactically might not have been ready for the gig, let's say. So we'll see. We'll see what he's learned, and we'll see what kind of coach he is now.
Greg Wyshynski is with us. What did you make of the process? Do you think that John Hines got a fair deal given the hiring and firing process?
Oh boy, that's a tough one. You know, the thing about it is sort of NHL tradition that when you hire a new general manager, that general manager is going to hire their guy. You know, and so when that general manager is one of the most successful head coaches in NHL history, it does seem to portend that there's going to be a change at the top, or behind the bench, rather, when that guy comes in. So I think if I'm John Hines, I probably saw the writing on the wall when Barry Trotz was hired that there was going to be a change made. It's always an awkward thing when, you know, there's whispers out there about guys getting a look or getting an interview while someone still is under contract. But I think, you know, John's been in this game for a long time. I'm sure he kind of understood what the process was going to look like after the season was ended.
Now, Greg, what does Andrew bring to the table? Because obviously, you know, I know him being an assistant with the Devils and their power play went from being one of the worst in the league to sort of middle of the road, but a little bit above that. So they made a tremendous jump in that. And this Predator team, obviously looking at them and what they did in the power play last year, it wasn't good. They were in the bottom half of the league. So what else does he bring to the table besides the ability to coach up in power play, which is big?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's definitely one of his calling cards. The other two things about him are, I mean, one, I think he has clearly a reputation right now as a player's coach. I mean, NHL coaches usually fit into one of two categories, either the guy who's always yelling at the players and being mean to them and trying to get them motivated through fear, or a guy who's kind of like an ex-player who's one of the boys. And I think Brunette in his time with Florida definitely had that latter reputation. I mean, a guy who certainly did ask for accountability, but by no means was a taskmaster. So, I mean, I think he's more of a player's coach, and that's certainly one of his better attributes. The other thing is it's not just the power play. I mean, this guy is known as a more offensive-oriented coach, which, of course, makes his hiring by Barry Trotz one of the more interesting juxtapositions that we've had, where a guy who is famous for his defensive style and really preaching that during his years as an NHL coach and preaching it to some great success brings in a guy that's more offensively oriented. But I think that's a good read of the roster. It's probably time for Nashville to try to utilize the skills and the talent that they have on this team to try to match what is happening in the rest of the NHL. We're in a very offensive mode right now in this league. And I think Brunette from the power play to 5-on-5 is somebody who tries to accentuate that more than anything.
Now, with that being said, Greg, he's more of an offensive-minded coach, and we know where this league is sort of trending toward. More goals, a lot of speed on the ice. So would he be relying more so on UC to be more of the stopper inside a net? If you're not going to – because you got Trotsky that's more of a defensive-minded guy. Now you bring in Andrew that's more of an offensive-minded guy. Do you put a lot of pressure on a goalie now?
Sure, but that's why you have him. You know, I mean, that's the benefit of having one of the true franchise goalies in this league, a guy that can play upwards of 60 games, and you know what you're getting from him. It's not to say that they're going to start leaving their goalie out to dry. I mean, I think that they're going to play a brand of hockey that will be responsible. I mean, the mode in this league right now, and if you picked up anything from coaching in Jersey, hopefully it's this. It's teams that can put the pedal down, play with speed, rush into the offensive zone, get chances, but also understand that with that comes the defensive responsibility to get back and not hang your goalie out to dry. It's one of the things the Devils learned from year over year under Ruff, and hopefully Brunette saw that, which is, you know, you can push the tempo and try to score goals and play with speed, But if you're not taking care of business in your own end, then you're just going to lose every game. And the Devils didn't have the benefit of a UC Soros on the roster. And hopefully, you know, if Nashville can kind of play that style, if that's where Brunet is heading, if that's what he picked up from Ruff in his time in Jersey, that's only a good thing for the franchise, because they do have that guy that if things, you know, break down offensively and there's a rush the other way, they do have that guy that could be a stopper.
And it is exciting to watch, for sure, as you mentioned, Greg. And Greg Wyshynski, by the way, is our guest, senior writer for ESPN.com. And Greg, I did a double take myself when I read the press release this morning, and Barry Trotz was talking about Andrew Burnett, and we want to be fast, we want to be an offensive team. I was like, now he did say this before, in fairness, at the press conference, but I was still like, that's Barry Trotz, like that we, because he has a very big history of being so sound with his defensive team. So hopefully you get a blend there. Let me ask you this, Greg, looking forward to what's next for John Hines. You got a pretty interesting situation developing for the Rangers, right? You've got Peter Laviolette, and, you know, he's interviewed, rumored to maybe on the verge of taking that job, and now you hear that John Hines could be talking to the Rangers. How strange is that?
It's really strange. I mean, you know, the Laviolette thing seemed like it might have been signed and sealed by now, but, you know, the thing we know more about the NHL than any other sport is that there's a previous relationship between two people. There's always a chance that those two people are going to end up on the same team or working together. And there is a previous relationship with Chris Drury, their GM, and with John Hines. And, you know, Hines knows the market from his time in New Jersey. It would be somebody coming in that understands the dynamics of coaching in the New York area, and a guy that maybe Drury thinks could unlock what is necessary to unlock on this roster. So Lavi definitely has the more success. He's got the reputation. You know what you get with him. Hines is kind of an interesting curveball now in that Rangers coaching search, which has certainly gone on for a little bit now, and maybe will go on a little bit longer now that there's another candidate on the market.
And it does seem like, if for all the people that respect John Hines, as I do, I do hope he lands on his feet. And one thing that gives me a little bit of comfort is, as you mentioned, he's got a great network. That Boston University coaching tree is very, very strong.
It truly is. I mean, and again, like, hockey nepotism is a real thing. It's a thing that you see all the time. It's, you know, like in Nashville, it's guys who played for a coach to come in to coach for that guy when he moves up the chain and becomes a GM. It's just a hallmark of this league. But I like John too. I've worked with him a little bit in Jersey when he was there. Always seemed like a pretty decent guy. And you know, it's a league where, you know, as we know, you know, just because you've had two kicks at the can, doesn't mean you're not going to get a third one. Doesn't mean you're not going to get a fourth one in the case of someone like Pete DeBoer. So it's and Peter Laviolette. So it's always a quick turnaround sometimes for these guys from one job to another.
And if Peter Laviolette gets the job, that is what, over half of the division. Nashville is not even in the Metro Division, but he will have coached what, five different teams in the league or in that division. If he gets that,
yeah,
job.
I mean, he's certainly. I would love to see his memorabilia collection because he's probably got half the league covered right now. But you know, Lobby's a guy that, you know, he's got a reputation, and he's a guy that you look at, and if you're the Rangers and you're, I mean, that's the real thing about the Hines Laviolette thing. I mean, say what you will about Hines, but it's not as if he's really pushed his teams into the championship picture all too often. And in Laviolette's case, I mean, not only has he won, but his teams are usually pretty competitive. And there's, I think, probably a bit more sense of urgency about this Rangers team right now than anything else. You know, the regular season success that they've had didn't matter in keeping Gerard Gallant in a job. They clearly want someone else to come in and level them up. And maybe Laviolette ends up being the guy for that job.
All right, Greg, real quick. We got about 30 seconds. But we know that the offseason is just sort of unfolding, free agency and everything. So we give you the right to reassess. But where do you see the Predators in the wilderness right now? Do you see them as a team that could make the playoffs, get back to the playoffs next year, or do you think it's going to take a year or two?
I mean, sure, why not? I mean, I don't think that the Western Conference was anything close to being settled this year as far as the flux that we've seen in some teams going up and down the standings. So strong off season, try to tailor the roster more to the mode that they want to be in, which apparently is going to be a more offensive mode, and we'll see what happens. It's not as if they don't have some really solid building blocks here, and it's not as if we or any of us are expecting Barry Trotz to tear this thing down with the direction that they're going in.
Last one for you, Greg, really quickly. Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, is with us. You mentioned it. I mean, Barry Trotz is in a very unique situation that he is a hockey coach wearing a general manager hat. Andrew Brunette coming in, fairly inexperienced in the head coaching position. How do you see that dynamic working out between the two?
Yeah, I mean, I think in both cases, it's going to be really intriguing to see who they bring in to work with them. You know, in Barry's case, building out his cabinet as a general manager. In Andrew's case, building out his bench and making sure the right people are there to work the tasks that they might not be the best at. And in both cases, I'm confident these guys know what they need and know who to bring in. And that's, you know, what makes sometimes a good manager or a good coach is just surrounding yourself with the right people.
Greg Wyshynski covers the NHL for ESPN, and he is the best. Appreciate you for joining us. We'll chat soon, Greg.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Thanks. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into your reaction on that. Plus, I do think it's interesting, the dynamic between a fairly inexperienced coach and a GM that has all the coaching experience in the world. And we'll get into that coming up next. Plus, your phones. Jonathan Hutton in 15 minutes. Caroline Billy, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game. Line Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. Hey, tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tomorrow at 6:04 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Charlotte Knights, the AAA affiliate of the Chicago White Sox. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. A little bit of breaking news. The Rangers have gotten permission from the Nashville Predators to speak to John Hines for their head coaching search. Now, Peter Laviolette, another name that is very familiar around these parts.
I mean, how crazy is that for Predator fans? It's just, it could
New
be
York
those
is,
two? Yeah.
New York is the landing spot for former Predators coaches. But yeah. So since the Predators are still paying John Hines, even though he still got fired, the Rangers still need to seek permission from the Nashville Predators. So John Hines interviewing for the Rangers head coaching job.
Yeah, and the Predators at this point, they are not going to hold him back. It was interesting. I listened to Elliott's podcast on that. He made a point to say that John Hines is in the picture for the Rangers. You just heard Greg Wyshynski echo that. Molly Walker from the New York Post has an article about this as well. And with Toronto firing the GM, Kyle Dubas, the guy that they seem to be honing in on is Calgary's Brad Treliving. Now, early on, Calgary fired him. He's the GM for the Flames, or was for a long time. But they were not granting permission right away for the Maple Leafs to be able to interview. Now, why would you do that? And they got hammered for doing that. And since, it does look like Toronto will be able to talk to him. So we'll see how that goes. But how it usually works, and Derek, you were asking this question. Mm-hmm. When a guy is still under contract and still getting paid from the team that fires him, if he gets a new job, it's often offset.
Okay.
So it sort of gets the old team off the hook. The new team starts paying him, and that's, I think, contractually what's worked out in advance. That seems to be the standard practice. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. So Chris Drury, who was a great player back in the day, he even goes back to baseball. He won the Little League World Series when he was a kid, when he was 12. One of those guys, just a great athlete growing up in, you know, the Connecticut area of New England. He went to Boston U, and one of his teammates, good friends, was John Hines. They always have great teams at Boston U, so they go way back. So it does look like he's in the picture. That it is so crazy. Peter Laviolette, who played for the Rangers, didn't play very long. Mm-hmm. He wasn't a great player. He has some great stories about his limitations as a player. He was, you know, you got to be great to make it to the NHL, but he wasn't a great NHL player. But he has strong ties because he did play for the Rangers. So for Predator fans, that's just kind of sit back and see what's going on. Also, how they handle the media. You know, it's a circus up when you play in New York. Mm-hmm. Hines has been through it. Laviolette's been in big media markets before, but it is interesting, you know, some people that cover the Predators, how they each handle themselves. To me, John Hines, much more accessible, talkative with the media, where Peter Laviolette, as we know, could shut it down and have some of those 30-second press conferences where he would just say yes or no sometimes, and is that it? Okay, I'm out of here. You know, he would set the tone.
And I do wonder how much of it is the Rangers are genuinely interested in interviewing John Hines and to be their next head coach, and how much of it is, you're my buddy, come on, we'll get you in the news cycle. We'll get you in the building to interview you. Because you would, if you just compare the resume of the two coaches, and Peter LaViolette and John Hines, they don't compare.
Right.
And that's all all respect in the world to John Hines. Peter LaViolette has a cup, and John Hines has struggled to stay in the playoffs. They don't have the same resume. So I do wonder how serious those interviews are. But really, at the end of the day, it's a matter of Predators' finances. But doesn't really matter to Predators fans.
Yeah, it doesn't, and you know it matters to the Nashville Predators, as you alluded to, Caroline. It matters to their financial department, because if you know somebody can take half of you know the payments, then that's great.
Yeah,
we don't have to pay you know the full contract.
But I don't care.
Yeah, but who really cares?
Right.
So, but again, a lot of this, you know it. In a sense, it could have been avoided, because as much as we want this day to be about Andrew Burnett and him being the fourth coach in Nashville Predators history, some of it, if it's not answered correctly and to the liking of media people, it's going to become a big story at a news conference where it should be about Andrew.
And I think that a big part of this, and it will be about Andrew Burnett, mm-hmm. there will be questions about his system,
exactly.
his style, what he's seen about the team, what he wants to do with this team, how excited he is about the young guys, so on and so forth. All of those questions will be asked about Andrew Burnett. But I think it's just as much about him as it is about Barry Trotz. Mm. Because I know Barry Trotz doesn't take over as the official general manager for another month, but it really does feel like today is the ultimate pivot into the Barry Trotz era of Nashville Predators hockey, and as far as GMing is concerned. This is his guy. This was his decision that he made. And although that one decision is not going to define his entire, you know, tenure as general manager of the Nashville Predators, maybe it will. And if it does, that's either a really good thing or a really bad thing. Mm-hmm. But he is going to make hundreds of thousands of other decisions in his time as general manager. But this is the first one. This is the peek behind the curtain of what Barry Trotz, general manager, is going to be like as the general manager of the Nashville Predators. Decision making, the way that he goes through processes, the way he handles the media after those processes. I think that those are all important things as he rises up in this role.
Yeah, but I think it started earlier than that. The moves that were made during the season, I don't think they are made unless Trotzy gives the okay. I understand that it's still David Poyle's team, but David Poyle understands that it's only my team in theory. This is really Trotzy's team now. I'm just helping facilitate mm-hmm. everything moving forward. So he showed some of who he was or who he can be or will be as a GM with the moves that he decided to make during the season. Because, again, Poyle was the GM, but we got to believe that there was a lot of talk amongst he and Trotz here about, okay, should we do this? How do you feel about this? Because this is ultimately going to be your team. Mm-hmm. So do you think we should do this? Should we move on this guy? Should we keep this guy? Should we bring this young guy up? So we started to see Barry Trotz early on. But this is just one of the biggest moves that he's made thus far.
And it's a little thing, but in the press release, you did have a quote from David Poyle basically mm-hmm. saying, look, I'm still the GM, but I deferred to Barry mm-hmm. on this one pretty much, but I do endorse. I mean, he drafted Andrew Burnett when he was the GM of the Capitals. That's who, you know, that's the team that drafted Andrew Burnett when David Poyle was at the helm. So he goes way back with him as well. So I did think that was interesting how that press release was put together, and we'll find out more later today. The other thing that caught my attention quickly with Greg Wyshynski was how wide open he feels like the West is and how there's a lot of teams in the West. It's kind of like, where are they? Predators are one. Jets are one.
Calgary.
Flames are one. No question about it. Even some of the teams that made the playoffs, like the Avalanche, they've got some big decisions that they've got to make. They're not quite as deep as they were when they won it last year. It kind of caught up to them this year. Next year, Mr. MacKinnon makes over $11 million, so that always messes with your salary cap. So the West may not be as deep and as just full with juggernauts as it looked maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
Fair point.
So where does that leave the Predators in the universe? We'll see.
We'll see. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We will have the Predators introductory press conference for the new head coach, Andrew Brunette, live and in its entirety at 1 o'clock. But coming up next, we'll take a quick Titans pivot. The Titans are out on the field for OTAs today. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow will join us coming up next. Caroline Riley-DeMace, 1025, 106.3 The Game.